Today, the Dow recorded its biggest daily point drop ever. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 9th day of March. Thanks for being here. Wall Street wants to work from home. Hand sanitizer, it is a New York story. Fear of flying is also some big news today. Nissan Motors is struggling a bunch. The oil market has collapsed. We've got the market report, and Laura Kennard joins me for DM Biz Events. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You can reach us on Twitter at IOB_NewsHour. Well, today the Dow dropped by over 2,000 points in the biggest one-day loss ever. Meanwhile, the President of the United States, in a tweet, blamed the oil feud between Russia and OPEC and the fake news for the market drop. I'll share the numbers in just a bit. Meanwhile, Wall Street banks and brokers are in what they are calling robust talks with regulators. Why? Well, they want to secure rule waivers that would allow thousands of traders to operate from home as the coronavirus spreads in New York. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said that overnight, the number of confirmed cases of the virus rose by 37 to a statewide total of 142 people and has issued a declaration of emergency to bolster the financial hub's efforts to contain the virus. Regulators include the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. Where there were once shelves stocked with hand sanitizer, those shelves are now mostly empty. The fear of coronavirus and its impact on global supply chains has led to significant spikes in sales of specific products, including, yeah, hand sanitizer. In 1 week, sales of hand sanitizer were up by over 310%. Back on March 5th, a 12-ounce Purell bottle, which typically retails for about $4.50, was selling for $50 a bottle on Amazon. Amazon has since pledged to crack down on price gouging and has suspended many sellers for overcharging. Now the state of New York is trying to combat this problem by producing its own hand sanitizer called New York State Clean, with the use of prison labor. In a press conference today, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that New York State is rolling out its own line of hand sanitizer that's 75% alcohol, with a plan to produce 100,000 gallons a week. Now, there has been some criticism over the state's decision to use prison labor when it's been reported that prisoners themselves don't have access to soap or hand sanitizer, and there are fears of the coronavirus spreading among prison inmates. According to Cuomo, it costs $6.10 to produce 1 gallon of New York's hand sanitizer, and it will be provided for free to governmental agencies, school districts, the MTA, and, yeah, prisons. The coronavirus has suddenly and unexpectedly created the biggest challenge for the global airline industry since 9/11. Bookings around the world are falling sharply. U.S. carriers are following Asian and European airlines in cutting flights, grounding planes, and enacting cost reductions such as hiring freezes and unpaid leaves. Foreign airlines are looking for help from governments, banks, and investors. Meanwhile, major airlines are trying to reassure passengers with promises of scrubbed cabins, filtered air, and free-flowing, yeah, you got it, hand sanitizer. The International Air Travel Association, that's a trade body, estimates the virus could reduce passenger revenue worldwide this year by between $63 and $113 billion, or as much as 20%. As recently as just last month, the trade group was forecasting a hit of less than $30 billion. The coronavirus has grounded about 2,000 aircraft around the world, say analysts at Jefferies. And it's not only the aviation industry that's taken a hit. Get this. Nissan Motor Company's vehicle sales in China, its biggest market, dropped by 80% in February. It's yet another blow for the carmaker, which is struggling to recover from a profit freefall. Nissan has been betting on growth in China to cushion the impact from its slumping business in the United States and Japan, where car sales fell by 27% last month. But commuting bans and road closures in many Chinese regions in February has led to a slowdown in production since last month, curbing output and raising risks to the automaker's global supply chain. How many times are we going to talk about global supply chain in one newscast? It's important, friends. Oil prices, well, they plummeted today in their biggest daily rout since the 1991 Gulf War, as Saudi Arabia and Russia signaled they would actually hike output in a market that's already awash with crude after their three-year supply pact collapsed. Even though the virus is constraining demand, both Moscow and Saudi Arabia said, hey, we're going to go and pump more oil. Russia, one of the world's top producers alongside Saudi Arabia and the United States, also said it could lift output, adding that it would cope with low prices for 6 to 10 years. That's far different than the budget constraints in Saudi Arabia, who really, because there's nothing else there, who really depend on oil production to fuel their national budget. West Texas crude plunged by 24.5%, or $10.15, to settle at $31.13 a barrel. Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average sank by more than 2,000 points today, notching its worst day since 2008 and the biggest one-day point drop ever. The Dow closed down 2,013 points, or 7.8%, at 23,851. Energy and financial stocks dragged the blue chip index down. The S&P 500 plunged 7.6% to end the day at 2,746, while the NASDAQ sank 7.3%, finishing at 7,950. The 30-stock benchmark was down 2,100 points and change at its session low. The massive sell-off triggered a key market circuit breaker minutes after the opening bell, and trading was halted for 15 minutes until reopening at 9:49 in the morning Eastern Time. The sharp declines followed a roller coaster week last week that saw the S&P 500 swing up or down more than 2.5% for 4 days straight. Bank stocks were smashed as lower yields put pressure on their margins, while an oil crash could cause energy companies to default on their obligations. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Bank of America all plunged by more than 10%. President Donald Trump blamed the media and the oil price war for the stock rout, arguing in a series of tweets that lower gasoline prices are, quote, good for the consumer, end quote. Meanwhile, the New York Fed said it will increase the amount of money it's offering to banks for their short-term funding needs. And to make sure the funding or repo markets are working properly, the central bank said it will up the amount it offers in overnight operations from $100 billion to $150 billion through Thursday. Wow, what a day. And finally, there is this. Middle-class Americans are skipping walking down the aisle for financial reasons, making the institution more of a luxury good enjoyed by prosperous Americans, says the Wall Street Journal. Marriage rates among middle-class Americans have drastically dropped over the past 40 years compared with those either at the top or bottom of the financial ladder. All that according to census data analyzed by the journal. While in 1980, more middle-class Americans than high-earning Americans got married, the opposite is now true, with about half of middle earners marrying in 2018 versus 60% of top earners. See what you learn here? Just a click away, we're going to take a look at the business events happening this week in the greater Des Moines metro. Laura Kennard's coming up next.